global oil prices are back near $80 per barrel, and we'll hear how Zimbabwe's once thriving industrial centre has nearly ground to a halt.
Only 15 to 20% of what was still exists today.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. Oil prices are moving higher thanks in part to concerns that output from Venezuela could fall after a disputed presidential election and talk of further US sanctions. Also impacting price is American-led pressure on Iran that could weigh on production there as shale output ramps up in the US. Meanwhile, in India, fuel costs are a sensitive issue and the oil minister says he's considering ways to keep prices down, as I heard from the BBC's Yogita Lamai in Mumbai.
India's oil prices are at record highs, even though global oil prices are actually nowhere close to the highest they've ever been. And the reason for that is that we have very high taxes on petrol and diesel in India. It's different in different parts of the country, but just to give you an example, here in Mumbai, where I am, 48% of what I would pay for a litre of petrol is actually a combination of different federal and state taxes. And as far as diesel goes, 38% of the price of 1 litre of diesel is actually a combination of different taxes. And so what we're increasingly hearing from industry bodies is that they want the government to cut the excise duty on fuel to bring the price down.
Is there a chance then that the government will reduce those taxes now, especially given the fact that Prime Minister Narendra Modi is seeking re-election next year?
Well, yes, it's a politically sensitive issue. And what we always see in India is that whenever fuel prices go up, food prices shoot up as well because of diesel particularly required in the transportation of food, grain and vegetables in this vast country. And if you see inflation start creeping up again, I mean, it was one of the major issues on which people voted during the last election in 2014. The government just before Mr. Modi was not very lucky with global oil prices shooting up. India imports nearly 80% of the oil it consumes. And therefore, at that time, you had fuel prices going up, but he also, because of that, had food prices going up. And people remember that when they come out to vote. So I think the government will certainly be trying to figure out how they can mitigate the effect of these rising oil prices.
Yogita Lamai, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly higher. China said this morning it will cut import tariffs on autos and car parts from July 1st. The move comes as part of a broader effort to open its markets on the heels of a closely watched trade spat with the United States. In a big shift in strategy, Japanese conglomerate Sony has bought a controlling stake in EMI Music Publishing for $2.3 billion. The deal will give Sony the rights to 2 million EMI songs, ranging from Queen to Pharrell Williams. James Erskine at marketing firm The Social Circle says focusing on entertainment and content is a good move for Sony.
People look around three C's, I suppose, content, commerce and culture. And can they make these content strands profitable? So that's the commerce side. And culture-wise, what allows them to tap into places where they're not currently talking to audiences? So that gaming example is a really good one. What does Sony know about talking to youth audiences? They used to know a lot with the Walkman, with the Discman, with music products like that. And these content strands are going to allow them to potentially untap markets that they're currently not talking to in as an effective way as they once were.
The agreement is Sony's first major deal under new CEO Kenichiro Yoshida, who said the music business has enjoyed a resurgence in recent years due to streaming services. So will the move pay off?
It's obviously a huge step from Sony. There's obviously going to see a huge concentration of power within the music industry. People are consuming music in lots of different ways. So I think it's less of a microcosm than perhaps it would have been even 5 years ago.
James Erskine. Zimbabwe's economic decline has been well documented. A severe shortage of foreign currency has had a devastating impact on the local manufacturing industry. The BBC's Ivana Davidovich reports from the country's second city, Bulawayo.
We are driving through Bulawayo's industrial area, where evidence of decay is overwhelming. Abandoned warehouses, peeling paint, faded signs and rusting machinery in overgrown elephant grass remind us of what the area once was. A beating heart of Zimbabwe's manufacturing. Once thriving leather, textile and food processing companies, more than 100 of them, have all closed in recent times, leaving thousands jobless. I'm about to visit one surviving manufacturer, United Refineries, which makes a variety of consumer products. I have approached a couple of factory workers just outside here to find out how the loss of industry has affected the local community.
Those who have lost their jobs, they are now doing vending, but we hope that maybe in future things will normalize. I am staying at Mganwini, where there is no electricity, there is no water, there is no pipework.
My name is Busisa Moyo. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of United Refineries Limited in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. Our biggest challenge, which is not unique, is that of foreign currency to bring in critical raw materials. On the edible oil side, the soya bean production in the country is only about 8% of requirement. So the other 92% we have to import. Plastics is even worse. That's 100% import.
What are your expectations from the new government and from the near future?
In the 90s, soybean, we were buying the soybean locally. That's a big change. Now we have to import them. Only 15 to 20% of what was still exists today. And that's the carnage of the turbulent economic journey that we have been through.
You were once at the top, so right. It's much more
right.
Obvious.
So it's much more visible because industry needs a stable, competitive economic environment, good laws. The moment you don't have that, you will see it immediately. There's massive work to be done in getting the place to work again.
In Zimbabwe, I'm the BBC's Ivana Davidovich for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Vivian Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.